which would bring us to status quo on what it is that they had to establish to do that, but allow it to happen within 90 days. And if the commission said that's a reasonable time, and
anybody object to that? Then neither do I.
So that is, where are we at here? Is this a
932?
Yeah. No, I've got that. I'm just. Is this an amendment to the amendment, or we never dealt with the 90 days in the uncontested?
Oh yeah, they were not objected to.
It would be a further amendment, Mr. Chairman, to remove from line 32 and 33 on page 2 the sentence, the commission shall approve the application if it finds that the applicant is fit, willing, and able.
Without objection, those words will be removed from section 5.
I move we approve section 5.
Without objection, section 5 is approved as amended. Are there any other problems anyone would like to discuss?
Now, is there anything wrong with the purpose section?
Yes. Well, we like that.
Mr. Chairman, I tell you what, I feel very strongly about this. I move we delete section 2 and section 3. I'm not sitting here any longer talking about philosophy that's not even going to go into law.
Well, I'll object just so we can talk about it a minute.
I'll talk about the motion, but I'm not going to talk about the elements.
So a finding, Mr. Judiciary Chairman, and a purpose really doesn't have any effect. It's not directing anything. It's just setting out philosophy for the state, for the commission to abide by.
There's two reasons. Findings and purposes are set out so that either, in this case, a commission or a court could look back and endeavor to see what it was that the goal was for the statute. There's a whole lot of things in these particular findings and purposes that deal with elements that we've taken out. So we'd have to go through and discuss which ones are still applicable and which ones aren't. Then we'd have to get at what really is meant in the purpose and finding as opposed to what we finally decided is in the bill. And it's an exercise that I don't want to go through because it just doesn't have any effect in the final analysis. We have decided what we mean by what we put in the bill. I don't want to have to re-decide it by crafting the same thing in another, in analogous language.
I wouldn't mind hearing both sides of that argument real quickly, Mr. Chairman. Because I know in some of this section that I'm looking for, we already have some findings and we already have some purpose.
Representative Kapina, I think that would be in 4205-800, which is the legislation that you passed in 1990 on long distance.
Correct.
Competition.
Have it before me.
That was certainly the central purpose of 501, was to establish comparable findings in regards to local exchange competition.
In fact, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kabina.
Well, I mean, when you read the findings section on 4205-800, it starts out the same as the findings here. The legislature finds that modern, affordable, efficient, universally available telecommunications. Now, here it's telecommunications service. Here it's local and long-distance service is essential to the people. It's essential to the people. So they're not... I mean, I guess somebody's could argue telecommunication service and local and long distance are different. Some of it's the same, I guess I'm just getting at that's already here. I don't know how important it is to anybody.
I'll speak to that. Telecommunications service is lifted out of the federal bill because they're removing all the barriers and restrictions between video services, local telephone type services, and long distance services, and they're just referring to everything across the board, both inter and intrastate, as telecommunications services. That's the only difference.
Well, is it, to your side of the issue, is either one of these sections very important compared to the sections that we dealt with?
No.
No. Is anybody going to argue for them? Nobody's not. I'm going to withdraw my objection.
Withdrawing the objection will eliminate section 2 and 3, the purpose and the findings.
Anything wrong with the title? Probably shouldn't even have a title, to be honest with you.
What are we doing?
Shouldn't even have a title.
I don't know what the...
Most bills don't have titles. Section 1.
Oh, you're talking about the title of the bill? Or the...
No, Section 1.
Section 1, no. No, I don't think we need that.
This isn't a major rewrite of the law.
Right, yeah. That's what we were trying to avoid. I'd move we delete Section 1.
Without objection?
The only thing that I would suggest, and we don't have to do it here, is after we get a CS with what it is that we've finally done, is we ought to write a title that is tight enough to not allow...
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, yeah, we don't want to send an act relating to telecommunications anywhere.
Mr. Chairman, my only other question is there something in 501 now that, since we've been working off of the 531, that your side wants us to consider?
Well, Representative Terrio.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's...
Or not consider, whatever the case may be.
Page 2, lines 16 through 19, competition section, and sections 3 and 4, which I don't think it could be dealt with.
16 through 19.
16 through 19, competition.
That's in 501G.
Just the competition paragraph.
Address this?
Jack Ryan.
Yeah. I don't think that we have a problem with that to the extent that's consistent with 252 of the federal bill. It's fine to the extent that it somehow would interfere with the intent of 252, it would be preempted. So I don't think that we object to it.
Yeah. Representative Porter.
Chairman, I would move we adopt Section 4205760, Competition, page 2, lines 16 through 19, as a new section in the bill that we've just altered. I don't know which bill we're going to end up forwarding, but...
And I would object just for... a little discussion here and find out what it means. We know about what it means to everybody. Steve M.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a a thought here that the language here I really don't have a problem with if we acknowledge the federal act, and I'd suggest that you consider something along the line that to the extent it is feasible and consistent with the 1996 Telecommunications Act, and then leave the rest of the language the same.
Anyone have a problem with that?
I'm just trying to move it along.
I don't have, I'm not sure what this does. To be honest, what this paragraph really does anyways, other than in a timely manner, I mean, I think we've actually addressed that, but maybe not the local.
I was under the impression that was what the federal bill was all about. I just thought this was redundant, but...
Mr. Chairman, I want to move the APUC past the argument of competition versus non-competition. There are things that are allowed in the federal act, restrictions, and we have to live with those. But any argument to keep competition out of a market should be based on those solely, the technological feasibility, non-economically burdensome, things of that nature. Let's move past the argument of competition versus non-competition, because you could spend lots of time arguing that point. And clearly move any arguments that are to be made to the exemptions that are allowed in the federal act.
Mr. Jackson.
I guess the reason I'm sitting here trying to figure out what to say, and I apologize, I'm not going to try to get you to revisit the issue. But as Representative Cabina pointed out, in 4205-800, it has those findings in there which were in regards to long-distance services. And when that act was passed, those findings were truly considered to be a very, very important part of that statute. And that's the reason that they are found here in the statute book, whereas usually findings don't even appear in the statute book once it's published. And from our point of view, the primary purpose of 501 was the public interest declaration, which is considered in the findings. Without that, it is a little bit hard to know what 760 is really aimed at, I think. And the concept, which I guess is primarily embodied in on page 2 under findings, the very first finding is probably the essence of the sort of legislative finding that we believe is appropriate to enable the commission to apply the federal act when combined with 760, which then has the substantive law.
Well, it seems like you're partially arguing that you do want a finding section, you just didn't want that finding section.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Judiciary chairman says we're not going to do that, though.
That was the reason I was being a little hesitant to jump in, and I...
Mr. Chairman, if the...
Representative Cabina?
I have no objection. In fact, I'd move the language that was recommended, and if you'd read it again, consistent.
To the extent it is feasible and consistent with the 1996 Telecommunications Act, the commission shall, and the language would be the same.
And I think this gets back to the same kind of way we tried to do with some of their language. It tries to keep them on an equal footing.
That would be an amendment to 4205-760.
I'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, Representative Porter, we'll pass that amendment. And to the amendment that you want to place into...
Yeah, the motion then would be to take the competition section as amended and place it in the text of the vehicle, whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah.
As a new section. or objection? Seeing none, we will accept that amendment into the new bill. And
what are there any other parts of 501 that
another part there
we haven't discussed?
Three and four?
Well, four would be the only other one that I would care about. Actually,
three was something added to 501 to try and broaden it. So if it's no longer desired.
So four.
Four.
And section four was something that was brought up in the State Affairs Committee. And it seemed at the time that just general discussion was that it was something that seemed like there was general agreement that it should be dealt with. And this was one of the suggestions by Ron Zobel at the time as a way of dealing with the
problem. Well, so if we're going to deal with this, Mr. Chairman, we've got to go and get us 4550, 562 through 562 through 596 before us and analyze those whole sections of the law.
Just very briefly, it's the anti-state antitrust act. And just a little background, there's the State Antitrust Act, and then subsection D for many years gave all utilities an exemption from the Antitrust Act, and it didn't have the first sentence, which is here. It only had the second sentence, so that all utilities were exempt. When long-distance competition was authorized, the legislature amended the exemption to take the exemption away from long-distance carriers, since they were now going to be competing with each other. The legislature took the exemption from the antitrust laws away from them. This now, following that same road, takes the next step that since you're going to have competition for all telecommunication services, it takes the exemption from the antitrust laws away from all telecommunications utilities.
Well, I might argue that one, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think that ought to be held until the APUC gets this new law down and the regulations out, and let's give us a year, because we don't know what we're trying to bring this down to as little as possible, and I don't want to do something which sounds that large of a statement. And I think maybe that section ought to be dealt with in a year after we know what this law is doing and what the competition looks like, et cetera.
How about an effective date triggered by action? Just one way to potentially deal with it.
I'd rather not deal with that.
Representative Porter. Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the effect of that would be on the exemptions that the federal law apparently recognizes in all but one local exchange in the state. I mean, they have a monopoly.
There's also another exemption in the antitrust law, the state antitrust law, and maybe we do need to pull it out, but I think it's G, it's a couple subsections later, which says that to the extent, paraphrasing, but to the extent that something is authorized by a commission, a regulatory commission, it is not considered anti-competitive and not a violation of the law either. So if the APUC decides that some exchange or if the Federal Act still enables it to be a monopoly, there is a separate section which will cover that event.
And what's the effect of this?
The change or the existing law?
What is the effect of applying the antitrust to local exchanges? Is that not the effect? Is that not the result of Section 4?
Representative Porter, I think the concern is that we're going to end up with some exchanges, some local exchanges that may face competition and some others that may not. And I think the concern, if I understood it, you were just expressing, well, what about the one that's not? Why would
we? The first thing I'm expressing is if Section 4 becomes law, am I correct that the effect of it is that local exchanges now come under the antitrust provisions of the state?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you say in the antitrust statute in another section, there's a provision that says if a commission exempts somebody from antitrust, then they're exempted, or words to that effect.
Yes, sir.
Then what in the hell do we need Section 4 for?
We need it so that in competing against, say, ATU, where there is competition, that if they do something anti-competitive that's a violation of the antitrust laws while we're in active competition with them, that they will be subject to the antitrust law, the state antitrust law.
Representative Cabina.
I understand where you're getting at completely, and I understand where this is going to have to happen. But I would prefer to wait until the APUC asks us to make this change, that they are ready for them to lose that exemption. I'm not ready to just put it in the law and exempt it like that. And I think that's a very appropriate thing for the commission as they start working through this law to come and say to us, all right, obviously they've got competition. We don't want them exempt anymore, and now is the time to do so. But I don't want to jump out there and do that now, and we don't know what that could do to the whole field.
Bob Lohr, do you have an opinion on that?
Mr. Chairman, the commission has taken no position on Section 4. I believe it was Commissioner Cotton that initially raised the concern and asked Mr. Zobel to look at it, possibly in response to a legislative staff inquiry. I know that Commissioner Cotton was concerned about fair treatment, even-handed treatment to all telecommunications utilities with respect to the antitrust laws, but I don't think the specific question that Representative Cubina has raised about timing has been addressed yet by the commission.
And you don't feel that this is necessary at this time?
I don't know enough about the situation to say whether it's necessary. I know the commission has not, as a group in public meeting, identified this as a need to date, because they haven't taken up the question.
Okay, well, perhaps if and when they do, they'll let us know.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we don't have a motion before us, do we?
No.
Representative Terrio.
I guess then if Subcommittee wants to leave Section 4 behind, that's okay. And if there is some concern that should elevate it back to consideration, you know, make the argument to the full committee, that's fine with me. I would ask, though, that you, having adopted the competition section, consider some of the language in the findings section here. And I think the example earlier in the long-distance battle that was fought and the importance that was put on some findings there in direction on how the APUC should consider the question of competition.
Are you suggesting we put all the findings in, or
well, that
just some of them? Or?
That would be my preference, certainly, the first 15 lines there.
Mr. Chairman.
Generally, I've been one up in finance to strike finding sections when they clearly don't make their way into the statute. But I think, as I said, in the telecommunications battles fought before, it was deemed that some direction was necessary.
Mr. Chairman, if there's something in the findings that are so singular that they should go into the bill, then I suggest we try to craft a section and put it in the bill. But just the confusion between what the effect of findings are as opposed to statute is mind-boggling. But fair is fair in general terms, notwithstanding substantive. If we took the findings and purpose out of the other one, I think we ought to take the findings out of this one. So and again, if there's something of that weight that needs to be addressed, probably couldn't be crafted this afternoon, but certainly could be for an amendment for the committee and be looked at that time.
Steve Hamill?
Mr. Chairman, just a brief comment. We're deeply concerned with the language here finding its way into the bill. Our hope is that there isn't anything that's done to the language we've already crafted that will preempt the state's ability to make public interest findings in rural Alaska for interconnection, suspension, and modification of the waiver provisions that are in the federal act. And our concern is that that's what the objective of this would be.
Finding section?
Well, taking the language that's in the
finding
section and incorporating it into the bill.
And I guess that's one of my concerns, is that the arguments to keep competition out would not be based on the allowed exemptions in the federal law, unduly economically burdensome, not technologically feasible, that they would be suspended, caught in this argument over, is competition good? And should it be encouraged or not? And they'd never make it to those things. I think the argument should be made on those things expressly allowed in the federal law.
Mr. Hamlin.
One more comment. I used the example in my prior presentation to the Committee of Arctic Village, where we have 26 customers. If somebody wants to come and compete in Arctic Village with us under the new federal act, they can do that. However, there is an ability that we have in the federal act to have the commission make a public interest finding whether or not it's in the public interest to force us to have to interconnect with a competitor in Arctic Village. Please don't take that away.
This, of course, is cycling back to the first overall question that we talked about, and it wasn't driven by the federal regulations, and that's why I didn't want to talk about it. To me, and I have not presented anything in front of the commission or heard their deliberations, but to me, this is a moot question. I don't see how you could argue all the things that the federal regs require and have anything left for a discussion of is competition good or bad. That's the whole element of competition, all of those specific things. So I really think it's much ado about nothing, and to the extent that we've been through it once, let's not again.
Representative Cabina.
And, Mr. Chairman, we did put the competition section in here. So my other part is, if we're going to debate the findings in this section, I think it's only fair that we go back and debate the findings in this section.
That's right.
Things get kind of late for that. Is there anyone here, well, on the committee? Is anyone here on the committee?
Well, I'm even going to raise my hand.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cabina.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we add to the committee, full committee, our amended version of House Bill 531. That would include the one section that we've taken out of 501 and leave for debate in the full committee which bill we actually are going to, which bill number we were actually going to use, but that is the bill that the subcommittee comes forward with. Is that fair? Because I think there'll be an interesting debate on which bill, because of the committee assignments and stuff, we would want to use. We have a chairman, we have a member. I mean, politics of it, but the bill that we are putting forward then as a subcommittee is the one that we have adopted through these sections and also the section that was taken out of 501. Is that clear enough motion?
The effect of the emotion of the motion really is this bill is 501/531, and we'll make up our mind in committee what number to put on it.
Yes.
Hearing no objections, we'll pass this bill out. Take the full committee anyway.
Mr. Chairman, question, in terms of process, when might we see a clean version of this in anticipation of the full committee?
Probably Tuesday. Friday?
No,
we won't be here Friday.
Really, this will be Wednesday.
Congratulations on meeting your deadline.
Wednesday or Monday?
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. We didn't do any work.
Probably.
I appreciate you gentlemen sacrificing your Saturday on this. Thank you very much. You can all right.